You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester. We are in the final day before the resumption of the Major League Baseball season, which, of course, the Royals are much in focus this year, which is great. We got all kinds of good stuff coming up for you today. Our pal Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, will join the program. We're pushing Connor Frankamp of the Aftershocks and the TBT upcoming to tomorrow. So we will have that interview for you tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation as they are practicing. The KU and K-State alumni teams are practicing, and we get the TBT going this weekend. That'll be fun. Chiefs are in camp, and, you know, plenty of meat on the bone there, certainly through the first couple of days. Caitlin Clark setting WNBA records on the court. All kinds of good stuff for you today to come. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, now less than 2 weeks away as well. And we have the Open Championship out across the pond, the British Open. We'll have that. We'll have an HTO giveaway for you today. We will have an NBC World Series ticket giveaway for you today as well. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. Jad Chambers is there. We are, of course, here with you on KFH on 12 News Connected. Glad to be here with you. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you today. Happy Thursday. Good to be back today. Looking forward to getting into it and looking forward to the resumption of Major League Baseball tomorrow. You know, All-Star Game Tuesday night. But, you know, yesterday, today, not a whole lot of action. So getting ready for the Royals to kick things back into gear tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll spend a lot of time on the Royals today as we make our way through. And tomorrow, a lot of time on the Chiefs today. The Open Championship's out there. Look, it's a major. Tommy, you're a golf guy. Like, what do you think? I'm looking at a leaderboard that's not very sexy right now, to be perfectly honest with you. I know who Justin Thomas is. I do not know who Alex Noren is. I do not know who Nikolai
Hogarth.
I've heard of him. Okay. Yeah, I've heard of him. Doesn't he hit it like a mile?
Yeah, you got Justin Rose, then, you know, in the mix. And
Justin
that, you know,
Rose
that's
is
a,
fine.
That's a name for sure. Yeah. Adam Scott is in the mix.
Let's not pretend like this is a star-studded leaderboard.
It's a good leaderboard though for the Open Championship, for, you know, links style golf. It's a lot of names that you would expect, including Europeans Justin Rose and Australian Adam Scott. So Jason Day is in the mix too. So I mean, there are absolutely notable names, but it's so incredibly early in this major championship. You know, we're, you know, what, maybe midway through or a little bit, you know, through the opening round. So there's a long way to go. I know of a handful of people. I'm not one of them. As much as I love golf, I know a handful of people that were up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the Open. That's not me. I'll wake up and turn it on when I get up, but I'm not getting up in the middle of the night.
I was up almost that late not watching golf, you know, dealing with hopefully what are the final stages of a kitchen remodel, which has been my summer existence for the last 8 weeks or so. But no, I didn't have any golf on. Maybe I should have put some on. Tiger Woods just teed off, by the way. He is even par through one hole. Even par, by the way, is fantastic at this tournament. So there's Tiger Woods off to a great start. You could still bet him at 150-1. Has Scheffler gone yet? I haven't looked for Scheffler. Is he
not teed off yet. He's getting ready to. He tees off in the group with Cam Young and Jordan Spieth, and actually just a couple of minutes from now is when Scotty tees off. You know, I think one of the major storylines, there are a bunch of them, but one of the major ones is not only will Tiger make the cut, I don't even know if that's really the storyline, can he make it through, you know, physically? Will he be able to play, you know, two or even four full rounds of link-style golf, you know, at Troon? I think that's going to be the major storyline.
Scheffler's 475-1. That's higher than normal. Is he not a links guy?
Well, there are so many different variables, and it's a completely different style of golf. I don't know if it's that he's not a link-style golfer more than there are golfers that their games are built for this kind of golf, you know, and
you can get almost 5-1 on Scotty Scheffler. You never get that.
The one thing that is for sure about a tournament like the Open Championship is that weather usually plays a major factor. You've got whipping winds and, you know, no trees to break the wind. You've got, it's a completely different style of golf. You're not, you know, trying to necessarily shape shots as much as you are trying to keep it out of the wind. You know, the greens are usually pretty undulated and crazy, you know, venues like Troon and other things like that. So that's going to be, you know, of course, a major factor in this tournament. And you mentioned that even par, you know, is a pretty good score right now. I mean, yeah, look at like John Daly, for example, is in the field. He's 11 over. He finished. He shot an 82 today. So it's difficult out there, and it will continue to be so all weekend.
You're telling me shape shots. So the goal for these guys isn't just to hit it as straight as they can and not duff it every time they step up to the tee box?
The goal, at least if I were playing, if I was in the field and I was, you know, a good enough golfer to play, would be to hit as many low shots as I possibly could. You know, you're not going to want to do like the big towering high drives and things like that. You're going to want to try to keep it low along the ground, keep it out of the wind, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, that doesn't sound like my kind of golf. Just don't duff it is my kind of golf. No, I would actually probably prefer links play. Texas Panhandle golf is what I call that. Hit it low and let it roll, baby. Keep it out of the wind. We'll see. We'll keep you apprised of Tiger's round and Scheffler's as well. Gary Woodland has gone 8 holes. He has 1 over, so he's having a pretty decent first round. You can catch him at 400-1 on Gary Woodland. My goodness, I might get a piece of that. Adam Hadwin is through his first round and he is 4 over. So there you go on the Open Championship. I can't contribute much there other than it's really the British Open. You'll never get me to not call it the British
Open.
It's the Open Championship. Why did we have the Open? The Open is the U.S. Open. America.
They did it because not every venue that they play is in England. They'll play in Ireland. They'll play, you know, like there are other countries that will host this tournament, and so the British Open.
Any of them not in Great Britain though?
No, I mean it's all in that.
We don't call it the English Open. We call it the British Open.
We also don't
Open,
call
Great
it the
Britain.
Great Britain Open or the Great British. It's the Open Championship, or just it's flat the out the Open. Like I'm okay with either one of those. I've got no issue with it.
The Open's the U.S. Open. We're in America. God bless America. We won back in 1776.
We know.
I'm calling it the British Open, the Red Coat Open, whatever you want to call it. Good luck out there. Go America. We need an American to win that tournament. I know that irks them, makes them mad.
We had an American winner last year. Brian Harman won the Open Championship a year ago.
I would have lost. I mean, you could have given me 1,000 guesses, and I would not have guessed that's who won that tournament last year.
Do you even know who that is? Do you know who Brian Harman is? Okay.
No. Nope, I don't think so. I mean, maybe I do. I don't know. But I would like to see a little star power. And then we'll see Scheffler. Look, Scheffler close to 5-1. You never do get that. And Woodland, you know, Woodland in the mix at 400-1. Why not? I mean, that's got to take a swing. We'll leave the golf to Tommy throughout the show today to keep us updated on what's happening on our, you know, local interest or just interest in general. All right. Royals, Tommy, I think is where we spend a lot of time today in Chiefs training camp. We'll get to the Royals in just a second. A couple of notable things yesterday from Chiefs training camp, and we did get this in. It came down while we were on the air. But the PUP list is, you know, Aminihu and Nadi and Tooney are the most notable on there. I don't think any of that is overly concerning. I think the, you know, of the PUP list, the most notable thing is Xavier Worthy is not on there, and he is practicing. Now, I don't know if you caught this from Tuesday, which is when they reported. It was very interesting. So you had the word ease into it was out there and used a lot, eased into things. So up first was Andy Reid, and they said, you know, is he good to go? And he kind of gave a vague injury update. And he said, oh, well, you know, we're going to ease him into it. We're not just going to, like, get out there and give him every rep and do all these things. Then Patrick Mahomes gets up there, and they ask him about easing him into it. He's like, oh, no, there's no easing him into it. Like, we don't have time for that. He's going to go full go. We have too many good pass catchers here, basically, and let Rashee Rice last year be an indication of, you know, we're going to give him the full load, you know, right out of the gates. Then Worthy talked yesterday about easing into it, and he was like, no, there's no easing into it. It's very interesting to hear, like, the coaches and how they feel about it and the players, and I think it's cool that pressure is coming more from Mahomes than it is the coaching staff. Like, you better get on board, buddy. I think Mahomes is fired up about, you know, we heard him say last year was not fun. I thought that was the most notable thing we heard out of anything we've heard so far. If you're looking for motivation outside of, you know, the obvious winning a third Super Bowl, he seems edgy to me. He seems angry a little bit about the way last year's regular season went. I'm just telling you, I think he's going to light it up this year. And I think the offense will redefine. They're going to sling it, and he is going to be closer to the Patrick Mahomes of 2 years ago, certainly, than he was last year. And I think you can, I think the energy to do that is tangible so far in camp. Like, he is ready to put last year's regular season behind them.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed about Patrick Mahomes, and it dates all the way back to last season when they were going through those struggles, is that he's got kind of that chip now. Not that he hasn't always had, you know, that competitive fire, but right. There's kind of that villain kind of mentality. We talked about it during the season last year where, you know, it was kind of the first time that we had seen not really people turning on Mahomes, but you know, kind of doubting whether or not they were going to be a legitimate contender. And I think that fired him up and it made him angry. And we saw more emotion on the sideline, throwing tablets and, you know, getting into faces and things like that. And I think that now that that's happened once, I think Mahomes is more comfortable in embracing that a little bit more and being a little bit more fiery and being a little bit more, you know, defiant and saying, look, last year wasn't fun. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that that doesn't happen this year. And so I think that that's that trickles down to his teammates. It certainly trickles down to the pass catchers that are on that roster. And I think that when you're talking about easing Xavier Worthy in, the difference, it might be the same phrase, easing him in, but it's different definitions of that phrase, where for Xavier Worthy and for Patrick Mahomes and for the other players, it's more about the effort level. Yeah, there's not going to be any kind of easing in for the effort level. Like, you have that effort 100% when you're on the field. For somebody like Andy Reid and the coaching staff, it might be more about, like, easing him in the number of plays that they're going to, you know, have him be available for right out of the gate. I think that's kind of the difference in the definition.
There has to be a physical easing because hamstring injuries linger, and there's absolutely no reason not to do that. Worthy, I think, is, you know, somewhat famously not missed games or time, so I think this is bothering him. My takeaway isn't that the messaging or the definitions are different, because I agree with you. I think they are. It's that Mahomes is creating a different sort of expectation and pressure, very front-facing, that we maybe haven't seen quite as much anymore. I you know, they'll embrace the villain role to their haters. It's not going to be like Hollywood Hogan of the late 90s and the ultimate bad guy turn of all time. It's not going to be like that. That just doesn't fit his, you know, persona. But yeah, there is an edge there I think, that we are seeing. And I'm glad for it. I think you have to have those sorts of evolutions as a player to maintain an edge and stay on top and do those things. I mean, Tom Brady is the perfect example. Tom Brady's always the best example for Patrick Mahomes. Not just because Patrick Mahomes is the guy that could challenge his goatness, but because their personalities and the way they are wired, even though they're completely different people, like way different, they're way different players stylistically. The one thing that is not different, that has always not been different, is their expectation for greatness. And as Tom Brady's career chugged along, we began to hear those almost in reverence because you got in a younger player to older player look at it, right? We haven't had that chance with Mahomes because he's not old enough. You know, Mahomes is not an old grizzly. Now, he is in reality, but he's not, you know, he's not to that stage. We're not, players aren't looking at Mahomes like they looked at Brady at the end or look at Rodgers now or anything like that. But we're seeing it develop, and he is setting these tones and these expectations more than anybody else, more than Travis Kelce, more than Andy Reid. I mean, honestly, like, he's the guy right now, I think, that is going to push that intensity up big time. I don't even know that, honestly, that's not even really Andy Reid's personality either. I mean, maybe it is internally, and all this I mean is like public facing, right? But Mahomes is going to bring that, and it will be interesting. Because they've, you know, generally been more talented and smarter, right, than the opposition, I think, in all this success that's happened. We know all those things. Have they been, you know, the most intense? Well, I think last year's struggles may have created that.
I think it ignited that fire a little bit. And I think that's a crucial piece in how you can, when a team faces adversity, moving forward, once that adversity is kind of off your shoulders, you can then kind of channel that. You can revert back to that. You know what it's like to be there. You don't want to be there again. And all the greats do that. You know, there are times absolutely where, you know, the best players in the world, regardless of the sport, they will channel an extremely difficult time in their career when they faced adversity or when, you know, maybe they almost got all the way to the top of the mountain and then they were knocked off. And they'll channel that and they'll make sure that that doesn't happen again. That's what the greats do. That's what Patrick Mahomes, I think, is doing entering in this season.
I think, too, there has to be a self-awareness of what happened last year. Now, I was the optimist last year that kept saying it'll be fine, it'll be fine. I think a part of it, as we look back at last year, the Bills underachieved last year. The Bengals underachieved last year. There was a lot of that. The Eagles underachieved last year. The Cowboys underachieved last year. There was a lot of that in the NFL. The Chiefs underachieved until they ended up winning the Super Bowl last year. The chances of that happening again are very low, right? The Bills did not get better, but the Texans got better, right? The Ravens got better. The Ravens basically added Derrick Henry to that offense. They got better. The Bengals will get better because Burrow's healthy. The Eagles will play better. The Eagles added Saquon Barkley. People are sleeping on them big time. There's a lot of younger teams that are going to get better. Now, I wouldn't consider them Super Bowl challengers. The Niners probably at even par or worse. And I would say the Bills, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, even par or worse. All the other real contenders, the Jets, they all got better this offseason and should be better next year. It will not be as easy for the Chiefs to play as poorly and sort of stumble through the regular season. And I think they sense that. I think they know that. I think if you had to, I would be curious, like if you could have an honest, honest conversation, like who do they fear as challengers? I would bet you the Texans are higher than we're giving them credit for. I would bet you that the Ravens certainly are. I mean, the thought of the Ravens with Derrick Henry, if Derrick Henry has 80% of what we've seen left in the tank, they are going to be hard to beat, period. They're going to be really, really good. And they're just the beginning. The Browns will be better. I mean, if they can get anything out of it. So I think we're sensing that urgency from the Chiefs. And the only reason all of that's important is because they've won the last two Super Bowls. How much urgency can you have outside of the historical nature of what they're trying to do this year? Like, they're on top. You know, that sometimes you can be on top and you can kind of let people creep up. But I think because of the way last year played out, it isn't allowing that to happen at all. We're 3 days. We're starting day three of training camp, and I think you can sense it. And I think, you know, the thoughts around Xavier Worthy have been a great indicator of it, that it is, that there is going to be none of that. Like, yeah, it's going to be as intense or more than it ever has been before.
What's really interesting about the adversity they faced a year ago was that they still won the championship. They just, right, they struggled in the regular season. And so the narrative, you know, becomes, okay, how much does the regular season really matter? Because if they make it to the playoffs, then they can just make a run and go win it. And, you know, that formula has been, it's shown that that can be successful. That can work. Because they did it a year ago. But that's not ideal. That's not the ideal path, no, to winning a Super Bowl. And so it would be really easy for anybody on this team, including the leader, Patrick Mahomes, to sort of like sit back and say, look, like, we can win a Super Bowl in a bunch of different ways. Doesn't really matter. You know, we can lose six games in the regular season. We can still find our way to a championship. That'd be really easy to fall back on that. That's not acceptable for Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, we can sit here, or anybody can sit, you know, here and say, ultimately the regular season doesn't really matter. We're talking about their challenger, you know, for a championship. It does matter to the path.
Last year was such an outlier.
Mahomes is not going to be content with that. And, you know, they're going to do everything in their power to win as many games. It doesn't matter if it's week one or week 17 as they possibly can.
There are a lot of outliers. Mahomes is certainly one of the outliers when you talk about just like a chip in a chair. But historically in the NFL, and these numbers are a few years old, so just bear with me, but it'll give you a general sense. They've changed. But basically, a number one or two seed wins the Super Bowl almost 75% of the time, right? 75% of the time, it's a one or a two seed that wins the Super Bowl. What happened last year for the Chiefs? That's an outlier season. And I think they know that. I don't think that is lost on the Chiefs. I think they fully understand they're very fortunate to have made it through a regular season that rocky.
And they absolutely had the talent last year to be a one or two. They just didn't execute. They underachieved in the regular season.
And they just don't want that.
You don't want to do that to have that happen again.
It is an interesting motivating factor, and I think it is on full display early in camp. All right, let's set up our first giveaway. We'll do some NBC World Series tickets for you. If you want to go see the NBC World Series, you can get a pair of tickets on us. All you got to do is text the keyword STRIKE, STRIKE, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once a day on this contest. The last day for the contest is tomorrow. So if you want some free NBC World Series tickets, now is the time. Text that keyword, STRIKE, to 20357. Good luck, everybody. We'll give away some HTO later in the program as well. We got a lot of Royals to talk about. A lot of fun stuff to sort of get through on this last day to catch our breath before the sports calendar heats right back up. It's all Brockton Caster, Jad Chambers producing. Don't go away. Tiger Woods, y'all. One under through three holes. Here we go. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. We'll keep you apprised. It's amazing. Tiger Woods still the number one story in golf all these years later, if anything happens. It's that kind of impact that you just don't find in the sports world very often. Michael Jordan was that way. I've been told Muhammad Ali was that way a little before our time. Tiger Woods certainly has been that way. Is Caitlin Clark that way? I think she is. Something like 19 assists last night. Continues to sell out arenas. I mean, it is remarkable. We didn't know that this would translate. It clearly has. I think she's there. I really do. Like, when you talk about before versus after with her and what she's accomplishing, you know, through popularity, I think she's there. I think she's to that level. I think that's what she's doing. Angel Reese might be the rookie of the year too. it has been everything they could have ever hoped for, and I love it. They're apparently going to be teammates on the All-Star game. I haven't followed as closely. I just saw that she had that kind of night last night. 19 assists for a rookie. It's going to be really fun. There's going to be a renaissance, and it'll be through her. People can get as mad as they want about that, and a fit, you know, like upset, and there have been all these great play. Great, fine. I'm with you. Doesn't matter. Nobody has had this sort of impact on that particular sport, and I'm here for it. I love it. I'm glad it's happening. I hope it is inspiring to a lot of people, and it grows that game. And again, like, I don't know why that bothers people so much. Like, it's the golden goose. Take it if you're a women's basketball fan.
If there's any doubt about the impact that Caitlin Clark has brought to the WNBA, just take a look at the reporting of the new media rights deal for the WNBA that in the last 24 hours has come out, that they're valued at $200 million a year. Before, it was $60 million a year. It's a $2.2 billion media rights deal over the next 11 years. And I think that that's a major part of it. The NBA owns the majority of the WNBA, so they negotiated the media rights deal. And it's a big increase. I think that the players' union, they're a little bit concerned about this because there's no – really, it doesn't impact player salaries much at all, if at all. And so you've got definitely the star power of Caitlin Clark and everything that comes with it. Does that directly impact her, the fellow players? I don't really know. Doesn't really look like it based on this media rights deal. But it still is quite a bit more money overall for the league over the next decade plus.
And look, it's great. It's great. It's not, again, like, I wish people wouldn't get so up in arms. Like, I don't even know what the right term for it is. Tiger Woods has had this impact on golf. Do I watch any more or less like actual golf, like sit and watch golf because I think Tiger Woods grew the game? Probably not. Not really. Have I watched any more?
I think for sure.
Well,
that I'm that
but what
way.
I'm saying is, have I watched any more actual WNBA games because of Caitlin Clark? No. I haven't, because I don't have time to watch WNBA games. It's not, and I barely have time to watch the things that I have always been really passionate about, much less a new thing. Same thing for golf to me. But that doesn't mean I don't pay as much. I pay far more attention holistically to golf because of Tiger Woods. It's not making me watch tournaments themselves, but it's made it a more valuable property, basically. And she is certainly doing that for the WNBA. I mean, there's no question she's doing that for the WNBA. And that's what's awesome. And it does make it, you know, it probably impacts whether I would go to a live event and do all that kind of stuff. I just, as we see Tiger, you know, having some success early, it will be the head, no matter what else happens. I love Scottie Scheffler and what he's doing. If Tiger's in the mix here, Scottie Scheffler will be very much back page news. And that's still the Tiger effect.
Do you know how much Caitlin Clark makes a year as the rookie for the Indiana Fever? Do you know what her salary is, the number one pick in the draft, what her base salary is?
$85,000 a year.
$76,000 a year. That's her base salary. And, you know, so I think that's the concern of the union, you know, with the WNBA, is that there's this valuation now of the overall product. And it's a byproduct of all of this, right? Like, the league itself is getting more valuable because of the new face of the league in Caitlin Clark. You know, it's a $2.2 billion media rights deal. And Caitlin Clark makes $76,000 a year as a base salary. There are so many other earning opportunities that she has, but her base salary in the WNBA is 76 grand.
I am a free market believer, Tommy. So I would tell you that, what about before Caitlin Clark? Like, that's the one outlier of hundreds of players where that would be skewed. So what if you took the other direction on that? You know what I mean? Like, how many WNBA players or players in any sport do you feel like have not lived up to their financial value? You know what I mean? I think that's a little bit unfair. Caitlin Clark is one of one in what she's doing. So does the whole league need to change its structure because Caitlin Clark is that value? I mean, that's a bit of a stretch to me. She's going to earn her money. And look, that doesn't mean she's going to sign a huge contract when the time comes. But I don't know that you need to change your rookie scale.
Will she? Because, I mean, here's the thing. Even, and this is just everybody in general. I mean,
I don't know. Does WNBA have a salary cap?
That's a great question. I know that the average median base salary is...
They do have a salary.
You know, slightly above what Caitlin Clark is making. The top base salary in the league is $242,000 a year. That's the top base salary in the WNBA. And I get what you're saying as far as free market and all of that. Are these players, you know, even at the very top, are they worth $250,000 a year? Should they have higher salaries in general?
Yeah.
It isn't uncommon for WNBA players, and this is the way it's been for 20, 25 plus years, to like go play in Europe during the off season to make more money.
Yeah.
You know, to supplement their income, like things like that.
This is why it bothers me so much, by the way. And this is totally off script to what but I'm glad we're having this conversation because I am far more interested now in life in the business of things than I used to be. There was a collective bargaining agreement. I just looked. There is a salary cap. So it's going to be – but this is why I don't understand the other players' hostility to Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark will singularly raise that salary cap the next time you go to the table. She's going to singularly raise the, you know, the average salary. All of this stuff's going to happen because of Caitlin Clark, okay? And you can be jealous of that. I don't get it. I don't understand it all you want. But that's the reason this league is going to grow into what so many of these players have been begging us for years. Why are we not paid more? Why aren't people paying more attention? Why all this? Why this? Why not us? Okay. Well, now people are paying attention, and your salary cap's going to go up, and your accommodations have gotten better. And there is one reason that is happening like this quickly, all of a sudden, and it's Caitlin Clark. It's not Angel Reese. It's not any other player. It's Caitlin Clark. So embrace that, use it to your advantage, and tell people why they should be just as excited and show people why they should be just as excited about Angel Reese. And all these other rookies and great players that come through. Hey, Caitlin Clark brought you in the room. Now we're going to show you what we've been talking about. Now that you're here, we've been asking you to come here. Now we're going to show you what we're talking about. And that's what I hope for. So that's what has blown my mind. You know, we didn't see this in college basketball outside of Angel Reese. Angel Reese was, you know, I think you can call it jealous. You can call it whatever you want. But otherwise, I think there was a very broad appreciation for what she was doing. I haven't felt that in the WNBA. I haven't. And maybe it's just because she's a rookie. And that's probably fine if that's the case. But don't misunderstand what the financial impact she has. And you can get as angry about that as you want to, but it's reality. And I'm not, there's a lot of people that are, you know, trying to like get a rise out of people by saying, oh, it's all Caitlin Clark, nothing else matters. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is you got to strike while this iron's hot. Like, yeah, her base salary is 76, because that's what rookies get paid in the WNBA. That was collectively bargained, probably because that was the value that they had financially to an owner trying to make their business work. Now, the owners, because of Caitlin Clark, are going to make more money. What does that do the next time you go to the table? It makes you raise that salary cap. What does that do? That raises the average salary. That's the whole point of all this. So why the hostility from some people to Caitlin Clark? I'll never understand it. She is literally making the sport better and more financially viable.
Yeah, I mean, she's making the overall sport more financially viable, but I think it remains to be seen whether or not her presence will directly lead to more dollars in the pocket of the other players.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's the question.
Of course it will.
How?
I mean, did Tiger Woods' presence? Every tournament purse went up because of Tiger Woods.
It sure did, but I mean, of course, like that's apples and oranges. I do know that there are similarities, obviously, because. You know, Caitlin Clark is one of one and Tiger Woods is one of one. But golf is an individual sport. And so these players, even if the purses went up in value, the players still had to perform to be able to win any of that additional money. They still had to be in the top 10 or be in the, like make the cut to get any kind of like if you were a mediocre golfer, it didn't really matter if Tiger Woods was in the field or not because you weren't making money anyway. Even if the purses right. went up in value, you weren't making money.
So, and were like, we sitting here? Were we sitting here trying to lecture people though about the average salary of a golfer being too low?
But it's all on them as an individual. This is right. not on the players. Like it's collectively bargained. The players are bound within the terms of the collective bargaining agreement and the teams that they're a part of and the league that they're a part of on what they are able to make. Like there is a ceiling to that. It's not completely up to them. It's up to the union, and it's up to the teams, and it's up to the league on what they want to pay in a salary. For professional golfers, it was ultimately up to how successful you were and how you played. And that was basically how it was determined how much money you made if the purses were larger. So it's an apples and oranges
it's
argument.
It's not, though. The best athletes make more money within the structure of what's in front of them. And it will raise the floor up because they're going to have to make room to pay her, number one. But two,
the only way that it wouldn't be
to bargain.
No. The only way that it would be not an apples to oranges comparison is if the WNBA had a structure that was like the PGA Tour, where, you know, there weren't salaries. There aren't salaries on the PGA Tour. It's literally you eat what you kill. You earn based on your individual performance. That's what the PGA Tour is. This is, again, apples and oranges comparison.
But the overall pot of money got larger because of Tiger Woods. The overall pot of money.
That meant Tiger Woods was making more money. It meant the top players at the top were making more money.
Yep. And that's what's going to happen in the WNBA. The more valuable players are going to make more money. It's what happens in the NBA. You've got the star players making $80 million a year.
The base salary might go from, or the top base salary may go from $242,000 to $275,000 a year.
That's a big increase. That's a 10%
and the
increase.
WNBA is going to get $2.2 billion over the next decade for their media rights.
That's why you have bargaining, though. The bargaining will work that out. I mean, that's why you have people at the table to raise that cap up. I mean, that's what I mean in free market. That stuff works itself out. Patrick Mahomes makes $50 million a year, right? The rookies that come in might make $1 million a year. Is he 50 times more valuable?
I think so.
Is Caitlin Clark 50 times more valuable than the average at Yes.
Yeah, and she makes $76,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, she hasn't had a chance to make any money. Patrick Mahomes wasn't making that his rookie year.
But you knew she was going to be one of one when she was drafted. She was one of one in college.
But the structure of the league didn't allow for it, just like it doesn't allow for an NBA rookie. Right, but it doesn't allow it anywhere. Like, they have to rechange the structure. Now they have more ammo to do it than they've ever had before.
That's what I'm saying, is that the structure is not conducive for players right in the now. WNBA to earn. It's just, it's not conducive right. for that.
And they'll have more negotiating power than ever before the next time they try and change that structure.
Hope so.
I mean, they will.
Hope so.
Of course they will.
The NBA owns 60% of the WNBA. You know, they've undervalued, they have a history of undervaluing the WNBA. They have for years.
Undervaluing it based on what, though? Based on the return on, you know, the return? I don't know that it's been undervalued. I've never seen the books. Are teams making money?
I have no idea.
I mean, the value is the value. The value is how much money the teams can make. The NFL, by the way, report came out yesterday, is making lots of money. Something like $500 million or something like crazy on average. But anyway, we can continue this discussion. Let's take a quick break. We owe Jad one. 869-1240, this portion of the program. We want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled and fired up here at the Odyssey Studios. They've always got a big old pot ready for us. Tommy, Jad getting fueled up on some Prairie Fire today. We're going to come back. We can continue that discussion. We got Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, coming top of the hour. We'll get into a Royals second half, unofficially, preview as well. Maybe a little more on Chiefs camp. Maybe a little more on this discussion. It's a fascinating one as Caitlin Clark sets a rookie record in the WNBA yesterday and is... We're no bringing the popularity we hoped that she would. Now we've seen it full force. 869-1240. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
FH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily. So Front Office Sports has a lot on that WNBA stuff we're talking about. Maybe we get into that in the second hour. Briefly, it can be thrown out, this CBA. I think the players can do that, and they almost certainly will. Why wouldn't they? After next season. And some of the benefits of this could come immediately in the perks, in the amenities for the players. Front Office Sports alludes to the fact that maybe they don't have to supplement their income by going to play in Russia. You know, just little things like that. And then we'll see what happens at the table. It will be very fascinating to see how the entire union tries to capitalize on Caitlin Clark's, you know, obvious impact here. Because, you know, you can make a case that not very many players, but I think every sport can make that case. And I think you're just banking on the overall growth. Like if you were an owner of a team, like you're salivating right now at the impact all of this could have, and the players, including Caitlin Clark. And this will be what I'm fascinated by when I said that. What sort of leadership role does Caitlin Clark take in all this? She'll be a very young player, but she is the one that matters the most. If she puts her foot in the sand and plants that flag, the league will cower to her. They absolutely will. And so that will be interesting. All the people that have given her a hard time, when it comes to that, they better be her best friend, because she's the one that can really have an impact there on that. Like if she says jump WNBA, they'll say how high.
Yeah, and I think that opting out of that CBA, which it looks like, and I didn't know this until I just looked, you know, a few seconds ago, they can get out of it in November. Is when they can opt out of that CBA.
And then they would choose to opt out, and then it would end after 25.
I would imagine. Like that's,
well, they will.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, they will.
You know, knowing sure the amount of money that's coming in from these different networks over the next decade or so, and then you know where the base salaries typically are, the top player in the league, while she does make millions of dollars in endorsement deals and things like that, her base salary in the WNBA is five figures.
As a rookie, though. As a rookie,
it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at she's Caitlin Clark. The top, like, you know, she's...
Well, no, I know, but the rookies in every sport could be considered underpaid. The top-rated player making $250, that's, I think, what you got to look at in the average salary. Are those high enough? Not with a billion-dollar media rights deal, they're not. And so Caitlin Clark, even though it won't apply to her probably for a year, I don't know how long the rookie deals are, she's going to be the one that has to drive the ship on, nope, it's got to be higher. And if she says so, the league will say, okay, you're the boss. Like, you tell us what to do. I mean, that's what happens in these situations. It's not unusual, right? Like, that's how you have to treat these things.
Hey, yeah.
There's a reason it's a billion-dollar deal, and it's because of the butts in the seats and the eyeballs Caitlin Clark's bringing.
You want to know why every team in the WNBA desperately wanted Caitlin Clark and wished that they could have drafted her? Partly because she's Caitlin Clark. partly because think about the amount of money they're making off of her.
Absolutely.
And they only have to pay her $75,000 a year.
There's no question. And they'd pay her $3 million a year, you know, if it allowed for it. And I don't know. We'll see how that goes. All right, 869-1240. When we come back, our buddy Tim Fitzgerald's going to hop on. I want to get with Fitz as much about all this conference realignment stuff as anything else. Takeaways from SEC media days, the expectations on Texas and Oklahoma. And then we'll check in on the Cats as well, as, you know, Big 12 media days are behind us. It's all coming up as we start hour number two here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.